The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Claudia Collins from our recruiting roundup on the rocks, Leacher Talk, teammate, just a really good person. And I say that about everybody on the team. I can say that. I don't know if I'll say that about me, but on the team. So Claudia will be with us. I want to talk to her about her deep dive into broadcast. Her journey is really interesting. She's been to some, I don't want to say she's been to hell and back because I wasn't there with her. It just sounded like hell and back where she was working, just the conditions and all that stuff. So we'll talk with Claudia. We will chop it up with her on how she goes about recruiting Roundup and finding things to write about on players and parents and all that stuff. Claudia will be with us also for On the Rocks and her chemistry with Spurge for their terrific platform that they're building with Bleacher Talk. That is coming up on today's show. Plus, she teaches as well, so a lot with Claudia. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi's team and their ongoing support. Today is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. In cities across America, there is excitement today in Houston. There is excitement. The Astros go out and they make some big deals. There's excitement in Seattle, a city that hasn't been to the postseason in 21 years. They get a nice pitcher, really nice pitcher. There's excitement going on in places like San Diego today. Because in San Diego today, it looks like they are going to get Juan Soto. It looks like. So about an hour ago on Twitter, it was put out there, everybody jumping on it. Juan Soto now a member of the San Diego Padres. And the excitement builds and builds and builds. I'll get into that side of the story in a minute. Here in Arizona, Luke Weaver gets traded yesterday to Kansas City. Luke Weaver, of course, if we were to revisit the Paul Goldschmidt trade, Luke Weaver was a key part in that deal happening and that deal taking place. Carson Kelly was a part of as well. And now today, Luke Weaver is a Kansas City Royal. The Diamondbacks traded him yesterday. You can use the word dump, whatever. They moved on. And so Paul Goldschmidt, while he was a 280 hitter in St. Louis, about 10 points higher than he was here with the Diamondbacks, but he was a face of a franchise, big stick in the middle of the lineup, and all that stuff. The Diamondbacks are left not with much. Unless Carson Kelly turns this thing all the way around, this will go down as one of the worst trades in the history of the Diamondbacks. It just will. Max Scherzer being traded by the Diamondbacks is the worst deal, I think, that I've seen. The Richie Sexton trade was really bad. Dansby Swanson getting out of here was just not good. And every franchise, look, every franchise has deals or have deals that don't work out or that are bad. That's part of sports. And then there's times where deals are great. There's deals that you look at and you say, well, this free agent signing worked out well. This player over here that they're able to acquire, what a pickup it was. Oh, man, that's so exciting. That's the beauty of sports. You know, in the offseason, Mark Melancon was a great pickup for the Diamondbacks for the back end of their bullpen. Sitting here on August 2nd, you tell me. So the mountain is higher now for the Diamondbacks. And the approach that they are taking, from what I can tell, what I'm trying to ascertain is we have gone out and we've gone the path of pursuing the big name player. We got JD Martinez here. We didn't want to pay him, but we got him. We got Zach Greinke. So exciting. We got Mad Bum. So exciting. And I'm sitting here saying, please trade Mad Bum today. Please. I don't hate players. That's not my deal. It's just I'm trying to figure out the direction. That I'm just trying. Like, there's no reason that Christian Walker should be here after today. None. Madison Bumgarner, none. Well, you got to roll players out there. Guys, they're going to finish with about 70 wins, maybe 75. A year ago, they won 52. They've already, you know, they're going to be a better team than they were last year where they bottomed out. I am looking at, please become a buyer and a seller in these remaining hours today, because I want to look at 2023 and say, I think you could sniff the wild card. If they had not missed on Melancon, and I am laying a lot on the closer because that's part of the deal, But there's got to be at least 10 games if I went back and looked at and said, if he just does his thing, we're not sitting here talking about a baseball team that is just going to keep selling and selling and selling. Today is a day where you want to buy a piece. Get a piece, like what the Mariners did. Go get a big piece, because in 2023, we have momentum in Arizona to focus on with the baseball team on the field. But instead, it becomes the same rinse, repeat, over and over and over. We're going to go make some move in the offseason. Oh, man, look at us. We're pretty good. And then by July 1st, they're getting their heads kicked in. And by July 31st or August 2nd, as is the case this year, they're trading guys away and looking towards next year. I love what Seattle did. Absolutely love what Seattle did. So San Diego goes out and they get Juan Soto. Now it's on hold as we sit here and speak right now at 10:14 a.m. because Eric Hosmer has not waived his no trade. And I can't imagine, there's 10 teams that he cannot be traded to and the Nats are one of them. I cannot imagine that that clubhouse would be very pleased or happy to have him stick around and say, you know, you prevented us getting Juan Soto. And every baseball insider whose opinion I respect is saying that the deal is going to get done at some point today. Today is the deadline. So the Padres have already gone from 20 to 1 to 12 to 1 odds to win the World Series in Vegas here in the last hour. That city is so on fire for the Padres, and I get it. There's no NFL over there. There's no NBA. There's no NHL. There's just beach town night and the Padres, and that's it. And rather than saying, well, you know, we got the market. Oh, what do we, you know, what do our numbers show in terms of attendance? No, they're going for it. And so I sit over here and I look at where the franchise is, and the Dodgers have a, I think it's 11 or 12 game lead on the Padres. So the Padres are playing for the wild card. Wild card's great because it gives cities hope rather than like, oh, we're checked out. Here in Arizona, I would like to have hope next year. If they finish with around 70 to between 70 and 75 wins, 68 to 70, 70, somewhere in that range, then I can say, you know, that's a 15, 16 game improvement. I can look at and say the back end of the bullpen cost them 10 games at least. And I can look at it and say, all right, in this offseason, they should be able to have enough players. Like, bring up the kids now. Please don't do the game of starting their clock too early so you have to pay them in their service time, because that's going on, and that's not good. That's just not good. Well, it's good for business. You're just sitting there behind a microphone. Ah. No, I'm about what is best for the fans. What's best for the fans is to be in a space where they can look out and say, we have hope, we have optimism, rather than, oh, it's just the same old thing. It's the same old thing. You know, Luke Weaver, that deal for Goldschmidt is just horrendous. And to just sit here and say, oh, it's all great, you're so negative. No, there's some pieces I really like on this team. But you can't just sit there and say, well, we hope by 24, 25, it always gets pushed back a little bit further. In the meantime, you can't open the lid on the park. You are in a space where the scoreboard goes out. I have to wonder what Chase is thinking. Like, we have our naming rights on this place. I have to wonder that. The business side of sports. Somebody go do that story. I'll write about it. I'm talking about it here. I have to look at the naming rights of this stadium and say, you know, naming rights are a big deal. How does Chase feel about what's going on in all this? And it's frustrating that here on trade deadline day, it's just become the same old deal. Let's dump away some veteran pieces. If you're really serious, then trade Mad Bum and trade Christian Walker. And I don't care if you finish with 65 wins. In the long run, you're going to get further ahead by giving these kids the at-bats now they need. So the Soto deal, and I'll tell you this, if I were a Washington Nationals fan, I don't know how you could handle it. Think about this. Washington has let go of or lost Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, and Juan Soto. I mean, over here, it's just Paul Goldschmidt has gone away. Like, when they got rid of Greinke, fine. It was fine. It was time. Mad Bum today, it should be time. please don't do anything silly with Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. There's two fifths of your rotation. Find a one or two in the off seasons. Put the money there. Bring up one of your kids or two of your kids, but you got to have a front end of the rotation guy next year. I don't know if Zach Gallen or Merrill Kelly are those guys. I don't think they are. I think they're more twos and threes. So it is really interesting. You know, Kyler has COVID, and that happens. COVID's all around us, guys. But, you know, this offseason for this franchise, our heroes on the gridiron here in town, like, your Cardinals have just had one thing after the next, after the next, after the next. And it's, some of it's just silly stuff, like last week. Last week was silly stuff. This is part of life, Kyler and COVID. But anybody's going to say, well, you know, it's really not that bad. I mean, we're fine. Sure you are. Sure. You haven't had any adversity. You had a player that died in the offseason. You had this whole Kyler thing that hung over the organization. You had Rodney Hudson who thought about not playing. Now he's coming back and playing. You hope that he doesn't think during the season, you know, maybe I should have listened to my heart or my head. I don't know. I think it's interesting whenever the NFL goes after some of their own, they stripped the Dolphins today of a first and third round pick because they tampered with Sean Payton and they tampered with Tom Brady, even though they deny they tampered. Lying season is always going on 24/7 in sports. So the NFL goes after them today on that front. We actually start the fake football season on Thursday with preseason games. Good, honorable men that are just trying to earn a job are going to get hurt in games that mean nothing. And that's the workforce. It's the way it works in that league. Greg Norman talking about how he offered Tiger between $700 and $800 million to jump over to the LIV golf tournament. I'm wondering why you would even go down that path. He's doing an interview over on Fox News and says, oh, yeah, we offered Tiger $700 or $800 million. Why do you even acknowledge that? I mean, what point does that do? And for anybody, it's like, oh, how could Tiger walk? He has gobs of dough. It's pretty clear. It's like the PGA Tour is the honorable way to go. And then there's people, oh, I would never do that. Well, you're not in that position. So he is. He can say, yeah, we'll start a new shoe line at Nike. I'll be just fine. A couple leftovers from Pac-12 Media Day. That was fun, by the way. Like Jordy Hamm and Chris Peterson and I just go out there. We do our thing. The night before, we're around some of the Pac-12 people at other universities. And people are losing their minds over what is going to happen, what might happen. I know that's what drives sports. I know it's what drives some people in sports talk. What might happen? This is what might happen. I know that this is the way that it's going to go on one front. If I'm talking about Arizona State football this year, just this year, I know that there will be a coaching change at the end of the year. Doesn't matter what the record may be. Could be, might be, there will be a coaching change. We're rolling on this tape. Iron Man has it. I'm saying it. There's going to be a coaching change. So that's already one thing. NCAA, I don't know when that shoe's going to drop. The players talking about NIL and wanting better NIL at ASU and doing it on social media has got to stop. It just looks like, oh, poor us. And saying that the boosters have to step forward and form their own collectives, that's smart. It's fine. But these boosters, do they really know what they're getting themselves into? You may say, I'm the biggest cigar around. I'm going to throw $1 million into this collective, but I want my family member to be on the roster. I want my kid. And what if your kid can't play? So now you're just trying to buy your way, and it's no different than the whole getting in the Pac-12 recruiting scandal that went on. These families that were buying their way into college just so they could say, look at my kid, look at my kid. A lot of us look at my kid, and your kid can't play. So that's a dangerous precedent to go down that path. I think what I took away from Pac-12 Media Day, Cam Rising at Utah is probably going to be the player of the year today. Today, there's people all about people are all about what's going on at USC, and USC's flash and dance. Just go show me, okay? Because all I've heard about is how awesome and amazing USC is. They haven't been awesome and amazing. They haven't. Utah has been awesome and amazing. Don't care if ASU and Utah fans hate on one another. Facts are facts. Utah's really good. I think Oregon State and Washington State are going to be a bit better than what people are saying. I don't know if they're going to be in the new conference or whatever that conference looks like. USC was 4-8 last year. Does that mean Lincoln Riley just comes in and flips a switch and everything is great? Does it mean they get a quarterback from Oklahoma who couldn't start last year and then came in and replaced, who's got NIL all over the place, so he gets a lot of media attention because Daddy Baller's got him money in NIL? Doesn't mean he can play. We think, or they think he can play. I don't know. It felt like the future of college football being out there, college football is actually becoming a little bit like the NFL in this way. The NFL has got it figured out that we're going to keep our news in the cycle year-round. We're going to do things that are always going to keep us out in front of people. We're going to turn free agency into something. We're going to have controversy. We're going to sit on stories and just wait for the right day when something big happens in another league. And then we're going to put our stuff out there because we know that people are looking for sports content. By example, today, the Soto deal. And, oh, what do you know? The Dolphins, their deal. What about yesterday? Well, we're going to, at 8 a.m., all of a sudden the ruling comes out on Deshaun Watson. What a shock. And the media just takes it and runs with it, which is their job. So the NFL's got to figure out how to manipulate us. I kind of look at it and say, there's other things going on. I don't need to get into, the Deshaun Watson thing is a whole show in itself. And I'll put people on here that are involved in it, and, we'll chop it up. Speaking of chopping up, Claudia Collins. Her journey is one of perseverance, stick-to-itiveness, bright mind, great vision as to what she sees out there and what she's doing on her platforms. Claudia and I will chop it up. That's next. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board, as always, directing this ship. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, so when I'm out and about and people are like, so what's Jordan Hamm like? And I don't really want to talk about him. Or what's Jordan Spurgeon like? It's even worse. And when it comes to Claudia Collins, it's, do we really have to go down that path? No, I'm just kidding. Claudia, of course, is the face and voice on many fronts. She does great work with the Recruiting Roundup. She does great work around Arizona on her hikes and her adventures. We'll get into that. And, just all sorts of things. I've not really chopped it up with you, and the recruiting side I'll get to, and On the Rocks we'll get to. But I want to know first and foremost, just for the audience, if you could explain your journey that brought you here today without making it War and Peace. Okay. How'd you get here?
Oh my gosh. It is a long story. So I'll make it like the most condensed version. It is a good one. It's very unique. I feel like a lot of people in our positions grew up sports fans, and that just truthfully was not the case for me. I grew up with both my parents being from other countries, and therefore their favorite sport was soccer. And that was it. So I grew up watching soccer, big World Cup every 4 years. We were diehard. That's all we did was watch soccer in the summers. And my dad, I love him to death. He doesn't know a thing about American football. He knows football, soccer football, but not a thing about American football. And long story short, meeting Roman, my now husband, is what got me into sports, because he was playing baseball when we met in college and he got drafted. And it was just sitting at baseball games all summer, watching him play when he was in minor league baseball. I was like, this is fun, but I don't really know what's going on. So I want to learn. And it was going to bars after games, and I'd have him quiz me on different pitches, and just kind of really got to know the game, learned how to keep score. And I changed my major that summer from, oh, God knows what it was at the time. I think I was hospitality management, which was like my fifth attempt at picking a major, and switched to journalism and never looked back. So that is the version of how I got into journalism. But I think you have the better version of how I ended up at Sports 360.
Yeah, no, I do. But, where did you grow up?
Also complicated. Mostly Ohio. Born in Florida, went back to Florida for college, but I've lived in 8 states, so I am very complicated. But Ohio feels the most like home, but Florida is where my family is.
Yeah, you're not very complicated, so
no. I mean,
we all have our hang-up or whatever. The moment when you knew, okay, I can do this media thing, when was that?
I honestly think it was getting my first internship, which was at ESPN West Palm, which was the ESPN radio station located in West Palm Beach. A Good Karma Brands like affiliate of ESPN. So it wasn't like the ESPN. But I kind of just, I think I'm someone that I only work well if I'm passionate about something. And the second I started the internship, I was having so much fun with it. And I was not a good student growing up. I wasn't like really passionate about anything other than like going to the beach and surfing and skateboarding. And so finding something that could be a career that I like really enjoyed and just all of a sudden that became my life. Like I knew then, okay, if I love it this much, I'm going to stick with it because nothing has ever been this fun.
When was the moment you felt like I have to quit this business because I can't make it?
It hasn't happened yet.
Not in the drive-through down in somewhere in Texas. Where
yeah, Texas was rough. So I will say Texas football was awesome. Texas high school football really made me fall in love with football overall because, like I said, I didn't grow up watching it. So it wasn't my passion to cover football. It was more like the baseball route. So Texas did a great thing in that for me where it made me a huge football fan. But my station, I worked 5 days a week on air, you know, live television, which was really fun. My sports director left halfway through and I was kind of left to work 7 days a week on my own. And I like the job, but I also like having a life and, you know, not doing two people's work for what we'll call less than one person's pay. So, it was tough and it was a grind, but you know, I think everything happens for a reason. I actually don't regret going as tough of a year as it was. I got to come back to Arizona, work for Sports 360 AZ, which is just the best team ever. And I always brag about, you know, working with my teammates. I love everyone here.
No, and they love you. So you bounced around through some things. So the audience is like, okay, there's some people that are watching this are saying, I want to be her one day, or how do they do this? Or there's the person who's a lawyer saying, I hate what I'm doing. Yeah, I make money, but I hate it. And we have fun doing this. We really do. And the decimal point may not be where it always is, but that's why this business isn't for everybody. So I'll interject here a little bit on Claudia's part and just say that it's intern day. I forget the year. I think it was 19, 18, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it was the end of 18 going into 19. Yep. Yeah.
And I'm sitting with Paula Bovin, the professor, who I love to death, my sister, basically over at Cronkite, where Paula is now. And we're there at intern day, and we're just chopping it up. Paula and I are just talking, and this girl walks by, and Paula says, that's the one. I hear that's the one. And I'm like, well, what do you mean the one? Like, the most talented. And so Claudia's walking by, and I have a list of people that want to intern for us. And she did not want to intern for us, so her name wasn't on the list. So I'm like, hey, do you remember this? Hey,
yes. Oh, yeah.
Why aren't you on the list? You know, if you're the one, why aren't you on the list? She says, you know, and she came over and spoke, and it went separate ways. And then in a small fate, as you say, things happen for a reason. I end up teaching a class, and Claudia ends up being one of my graders. And it's pretty clear that you're way above, because you were people don't know this, grad student, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Got my master's degree at ASU.
Right. And before ASU, you were at?
Florida Atlantic. And then before that, Florida International. But that was a 1 year stint that brought me to FAU.
So FIU to FAU to Arizona State to, you get an opportunity to go work in Lubbock?
Amarillo. Very close.
Amarillo, yeah. So you're in Amarillo and you decide to take it. And you do a bunch of things. But you're being paid on an hourly wage where fast food people are making more than you. And that was the moment, I'm not putting words in your mouth, right? But that was kind of the moment where, like, what am I doing here, right?
Yeah, no, I had a tough time with coming to terms with the high school students that I was doing stories about were working at Panda Express, making more money than I was, you know, with a master's degree, you know, having paid for my own degree. And then coming out of it and, you know, feeling like, well, I'm never going to pay off my student loans if I'm making, I'll just throw it out there, $11 an hour if we want to be transparent. It was, you know, I loved what I was doing, but it was I was going to spend my whole life basically trying to make up for getting my master's degree to be in this position.
How was it that your now husband was so supportive of you? I mean, love will do that. But here you are making an hourly wage just north of 10 bucks an hour at 11. And he's telling you, pursue your dream. He's never been a dream killer for you, right?
No, not at all. And I think, like, you know, I switched my major, knew I wanted to do journalism and knew what came along with that. But fortunately, I got a job when I was 16 for the first time. My parents were very adamant about me working, and I knew what, you know, I was going to graduate college and I was going to be on my own. And my parents are so supportive, and I know if, like, all hell broke loose, like, they would be there for me. But I was very prepared in that I had savings. I had worked full-time jobs all through college. So I was prepared in that sense. But also, I got to support Roman, my husband, and his dream of playing minor league baseball, which it's really hard to be a significant other, whether that's girlfriend, fiance, wife, of a minor league or major league baseball player. Because as you know, they play the most games of any other sport and they're traveling constantly. Minor league baseball is a little bit better now where they have 1 week homestands. At the time, he was coming back and forth every 3 days. Wow. And I was doing my best to spend summers with him, but that also meant spending half the summer completely on my own in Idaho, Kentucky, Delaware, wherever he was playing. And usually I was able to match up internships and stuff in the summer then. But, you know, I think he felt like it was his turn to support my dreams, and the timing just worked out perfectly.
So Claudia reaches out to me and says, I'm thinking about making a move back. I'm going to cut through all the other stuff, but thinking about making a move back because my fiance, you had to put your wedding on hold because of COVID.
Right? Yep.
So they're looking at coming back from Amarillo, and she reached out, and this is part of the business. If any of you are wanting to get in this business, please stay in touch with lots of people. You just have to do that. Claudia reached out. We had a couple phone conversations, right? I'm trying to remember in that period of time, like, we didn't talk. I think you reached out to me like at the end of, I want to say 20.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the end of 2020. I had reached out to Jordan Hamm first because he was someone that I worked alongside with at Cronkite while I was getting my master's degree. He was in the sports bureau every day, and I was kind of like, hey, I need to pick your brain. And he kind of was like, we're looking for someone potentially, and like, I would be more than happy to recommend you. And I was like, hey, well, I know Brad, so I guess I'll reach out. So yeah, it was towards the end of 2020 that Roman had a job lined up ready for us in Arizona. And I was like, I'm happy to go back to Arizona after a year in Amarillo, Texas.
What was the attraction of this gig? I mean, I can sit here on the other side of you and say, you know, obviously it's this, it's that, but what was the attraction? Again, for the audience who's thinking about this business and how you've got to process making a move, especially in media.
There were so many green flags. And I will say, going into my Amarillo job, it was so many red flags, but I took it anyways. So it was really refreshing just from our first conversation. And I think it's shown that I have been able to do exactly what I want to do and cover exactly what I want to cover. I think one of the things, and I'm bringing it towards something we were going to say for later, but you know, you asked me, what do you want to do? Like, is there any segment or anything that like you would be excited about doing? And I always had this dream of doing a hiking segment. Yep. And I don't think I had any concept other than I would love to have a hiking segment. And you were like, do it. Yeah, we'll post that on our website. And I was like, really? And then my brain started turning, like, what else can I do? What else is there out there for me? You know, you're very family oriented, which, you know, anyone who knows you, I know, can see that in you. And I think, like, seeing that I know you hate the word boss, but seeing that my like future potential boss cares about things outside of just work was something that was completely, I hadn't seen it in this industry in any internship and any job that I had. And especially after a really rough year of being isolated in the middle of nowhere in Texas during a pandemic, I was like, I need to go back to things that make me happy. And I think every conversation that we had, I was just so excited to start. So I think a lot of it is just the way that you and everyone else at 360 believes not only in Sports 360 AZ, but cares about the stories that we share.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Look, it's one of those things where we're human, and I've been in this business for far too long and have had far too many bad people that, I mean, they're just bad, that don't care. And then there's the good ones. I've had some really good people that were bosses or mentors along the way, and I think that's important. And it also should be noted, Claudia's teaching, you know, so she's giving back. And I think mentoring, look, if you can mentor and be mentored at the same time, you're going to be in a really good place. And I think, you know, just looking at you and your mentoring, this isn't all about what we do. You go on your hikes, you bring your dog along, you bring your husband along, you go hang out with your friends, you car camp, you go for adventures. And so there's a balance that a lot of times in this industry, it's like, oh, I was at every press conference and I was at every game. And then one day you wake up, it's like, I haven't lived life.
Yeah, no, that has been far from my experience here. Like, and the fact that I can do a hiking segment that doesn't feel like work at all, and I get to share it with so many people, and I feel like living somewhere like this is, you know, I've lived in 8 states, like I've said. There's a reason I was excited to come back to Arizona. Mm-hmm. So this industry's not forgiving in most, you know, television stations, most companies you work for. Like, it is, you know, a battle of balancing work and life. And that happens sometimes. I mean, I know come fall, I'm going to be a lot busier. And my friends like to get together on Fridays. And I'm like, can we make it Saturdays maybe, you know, because it's, you know, that's it. But also come fall, I want to be out on the sidelines on Friday. That's what I enjoy the most. So, you know, sometimes it's a give and take, but I don't feel like I've lost any of my life on the outside of it.
We're going to get some other stuff in a minute. I'm just curious on a teaching end. What is the message that you want to convey when you're standing in front of students at Cronkite? Or is it just simply, here's the syllabus, let's go about it?
Yeah, definitely not the latter, because those were the classes that I struggled to get through when I was a student. I think a lot of it goes back towards how I found my passion, which is like, if you love it, like if you're all into it. And I just hope that the way I teach, I have tried to make it very hands-on and like real world experience. Like, this is what it's going to be like to go out and cover these things and share the stories that you want to share. And I try to be flexible about what sports means to different people, because like what we've talked about, like one of my favorite sports to cover is skateboarding, which is not something that's top of mind for a lot of people, but you know, I get to share, you know, maybe ping pong. If you want to do a ping pong story and that is exactly the sport you want to cover, I'm not going to be the one to tell you not to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, I think if you're passionate about something, you just have to go for it. And I, you know, I tell my students, this is how much money I made after getting out of it. But also, I got the best seat in the house on a Saturday night at Texas Tech football game. So it's things like that where you're like, okay, can I deal with the dollar signs? Can I make my life work outside of this? And I also do encourage them to get jobs and start working and saving, because having that cushion when I graduated was a huge deal and I definitely needed it. So I think it's just, I think I have the advantage of being a young instructor and having just been through it. I think there's value in someone who's been in it for a long time, but also having kind of just been in their shoes, I think I have a lot of perspective on what the industry's like right now and how to prepare for it.
Last Summer Olympics, Jagger Eaton was winning in skateboard and Claudia was just on fire for that sport. So fired up. And Jordy Ham shows a clip of you in his class that he teaches at Cronkite of you doing a skateboarding story, you doing the skateboarding. So are you good at it?
I can do one trick. There used to be a TV show on MTV called Made, where they come around to a high school and like take an outcast student or something and turn them into like a horseback rider or like a runway model. And I always in my head was like, I want to be a skateboarder. So I think I always had this like passion to like want to skateboard, but I'm also kind of fearful when it comes to getting hurt. So like, I could never like get past just like basic skateboarding skills, but I can skateboard very fast and I can do an ollie, which is the extent of my skateboarding.
But if a skateboarding story comes along, people will see it up on the site and she will be the one that is.
Yeah. And there is one documentary in the making. There's a girl who's located in Tempe who's made Team USA. And she's actually, I did the story on her when I was a student at Cronkite. And she was 11 years old talking about wanting to make it to the Olympics one day. And then when I saw a few months ago that she had made the team, I was like, all right, it's time. And, you know, for me, it was like 3 years coming. I knew 3 years ago that that was her dream.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Claudia Collins with us for a few minutes. Okay, let's switch over now to things that you're doing that where they are. I approached you, you approached me. I don't know how it worked out, but Jordan wanted to go to college platform.
Yeah.
So everything was going on with the portal. So everything going on with NIL and college. And Jordan Hamm, of course, had been the face and voice of Recruiting Roundup. Before him, it was Jason Jewell, now the coach at Brophy, along with Jared Cohen, who's now in the golf industry, which is great. You did not hesitate. You were like, I'm in. Do you regret it?
No, not at all. I feel like this is exactly the type of thing I want to be doing. And I also think that goes back towards falling in love with high school football when I was in Texas. I really learned in that time that I like, you know, I think when you come into the industry, it's like, oh, I want to cover Major League Baseball and the NFL and all of that's great. Covering the Suns, you know, making it to the all that's great. But I think getting to tell the stories that no one else is hearing is the thing that I was really passionate about, which that's what happens at the high school level, because it's not national news or it's not a national team that everyone knows about. They don't get as much coverage. So getting the opportunity to cover recruiting, which means for me, that means a big deal because I didn't grow up with the knowledge that these are the steps that you take to play football or to play a sport at the next level. So I also feel like I've learned a lot through it, but it's just really encouraging. And like so many of these kids are just so mature in the way that they approach how they're going to play at the next level. All of that's really fun for me and they all have unique stories. So there was no question. I think for me, I've realized that I really like covering high school in general.
How do you find your voice? Because everybody's different on the recruiting space. Some people, I have to be first. And all they do is sit there and wait for their phones to ring. And they go to every game. They're on the sidelines, which I don't want. I've never wanted the recruiting side to be that. But I'll give you an example for the audience. I don't think I'm speaking out of school here. I'm on a flight back from moving my mother to Wichita. And in the middle of the flight, I see that the quarterback over at Chandler High School, Dylan Raiola, is going to make his announcement. And I get some texts about it. I reach Claudia. You're in Scottsdale. You're taking part in a kickball league, I think it was.
Softball. Yeah, I was playing softball for the first time in a co-ed softball intramural team.
And you drop what you're doing and you leave to go home, basically, right?
Yeah.
Am I getting the story right?
I mean, he's the number one prospect in the class of 2024. So like, I kind of had to be like, you know, guys, it was nice meeting you, but actually like something really, really big is happening for work. So I have to leave like right now. And I booked it home. And when I went back the next week to play softball for the first/second time, I brought my laptop with me just in case. So I learned my lesson the first time around. But yeah, that's the way it goes. And I would be lying if I didn't say that there's like 30 guys that I have Twitter notifications set on for, which sometimes bites me in the butt because I'm getting updates for every single thing they retweet. So sometimes I miss things because so much is going on my phone, but it is definitely a balance, and being prepared to drop everything is something I've learned I have to do.
How do you handle the parent who is saying, my kid is the greatest ever, and they're not, and you're not a talent evaluator? You know, by your definition, you're like, I'm not evaluating, I'm just telling their stories, right? Because there's a line there for this role of Recruiting Roundup that you've been very, very staunch on, I would say.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it would be hard for me to fill that analyst type role because I really came to know football 2 years ago when I wasn't in Texas covering football. That was like my first introduction to football at the high school level. I had no idea, and I'm still learning how high school recruiting works. So I feel like it's not fair to me to, I don't want to fill a role that I'm not really qualified to call myself an analyst. What I can do is report the facts, you know, the schools that guys are interested in, why they're interested in the school in particular, why they think they fit in, what they're looking for. And I think that's kind of what people want to know anyways. Obviously, I think, you know, you can watch the film, you can watch the highlights that I put on all the interviews and kind of get a sense of what type of player they are, but only they can tell me, or I can relay why they're interested in the school that they're interested in or what it is that they're looking for at the next level. So I think that I like to defer to someone who is more the analyst type, which is why I've had Cody Cameron on here and there, because he is that analyst type guy. I mean, that is his role, actually. So that's exactly what he is. But yeah, I think one thing that's nice about sports is, unfortunately, in regular news, you're often sharing bad news. In sports, yes, there's bad news sometimes. Most of the time, the bad news is your team loses. There's another game they can win. There's room for redemption. That's usually like the extent of the bad news. So I think I like having the opportunity to share these kids' accomplishments. And I think that's kind of the avenue that I've liked taking with this.
How have you found the coaches, parents, administrators to be? Because a woman coming into this space is not something that I've never batted an eye twice about it. Male, female, makes no difference to me. But for some people, it's like, well, you've never played the game and all that. Have you had to encounter any of that? Or how have you found people to be in your role?
I have not encountered that at all. I would say it's quite the opposite. I've gotten a lot of like really positive feedback, women being excited that I'm doing it. I had a student in my class last semester that was really interested in my specific role covering recruiting because her father does recruiting for a university. And I think it's been quite the opposite experience for me. I also haven't encountered those parents that are like dying for me to give coverage to their kid. I know the day will come. But I think it's been all really encouraging. And I think that because I'm honest about the way I approach it, I don't think anyone's expecting me to be an analyst. And I'm pretty forward about that as well. And I've had, you know, kids reach out to me before too and ask for advice. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I'm the one to give you advice, but the advice I usually give, because it is the kids that are reaching out to me, not the parents and not the coaches generally, I would say, usually I'm just like, you should just be active on Twitter because that's where I'm seeing, that's where I find my news. That's where so many people in this industry are finding their news. So I'm like, post your workouts. You know, if you're getting good grades, I'm like, fine. Find the line of being humble, but also sharing your accomplishments. If you have a 4.0, put it on your Twitter. Being a good student is really important. If you have other hobbies outside of it, posting your workouts, posting your huddle link every now and then. And usually I've gotten really good response from that. And I think the first time that I felt really, really excited about being in this was my interview with Trayson Bourget at South Point Catholic. I interviewed him, and I guess a few days later, a recruiter from where did he commit to? Northern Michigan. I want to say that. I might have it wrong. I apologize. Covering a lot of guys here. But he reached out to me to say, like, hey, you know, I got an offer from this coach because he saw your recruiting roundup interview with me and looked at my footage, and he committed 2 days later. So I was just like absolutely thrilled that I could be a part in that happening. And I like screenshotted that message, and I'll probably save it forever.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You like to have a lot of fun in your on-air content too. You know, the heavy lifting, you can do the heavy lifting. And there's times where you did a documentary this last year on Zach Hoffpower that was heavy lifting. Heavy, heavy stuff. You're fine with that. But on the other end of the spectrum, you and Jordan Spurgeon have developed this little, now bigger platform, Bleacher Talk, where it is, let's screw around a little bit in the personality of it. So how did that come to be?
I think we just like instantly had really good on-air chemistry and are like good friends. You know, I can't say we've hung out outside of work a whole time, but it feels like when we're working together, we're hanging out. And I think that that shows in all of our content. And we realized, I think we feel similarly about sports coverage, which is sometimes it's nice to see guys do something other than play their specific sport. Sometimes it's nice to see them you know, do a pizza challenge or something outside of the ordinary that kind of like breaks through them a little bit and breaks their walls down. And so I think that we both had that same interest in kind of doing that, and doing that at the high school level was not only easy because high schoolers are fun and want to do it, but it was accessible for us. And it instantly, I feel like our ideas flowed really well together, and it just became this 3-segment interview show. Having Bruce Cooper on with us is awesome, doing quick picks. I hope to do better this year with quick picks since I came in dead last year, but we're going to blame 2 weeks off for my wedding for that. But yeah, Bleacher Talk is like an absolute blast, and it's like the perfect thing if you want to, hear about football and figuring out what's going on the field, but also get to know a player just as like the high school kid that he is.
So you're balancing a lot of things. You've got Bleacher Talk, you have Recruiting Roundup that you cut every Monday, I believe it is, for the TV show. I know it is. And
Monday.
I encourage you to do notebooks. I encourage you guys to just go be yourself, put things out there that are things that you're interested, passion, which leads you over to On the Rocks. Your dog Mia is there as well. And Mia has become this little sensation. So in our remaining moments, because we're about to run out of time, how do you balance all of the things that you're doing? Is it too much?
No, it's never been too much. I think this fall will be like my busiest, since I'm teaching 2 classes at ASU this fall. But I think that I work best if I'm a planner, and the fact that my planner isn't right next to me right now is like stressful because I could hold it up and you could see everything in it. But I know where it is because I know where my planner is at all times. But I'm, you know, and things happen and things come up. And I have to adjust my schedule, but I like to start my week off with a schedule of what I think is going to happen. And you know, that's appointments and interviews and, you know, going out to media day, which is happening tomorrow for the Chandler School District, and kind of figuring out, okay, and then when can I hang out with my husband who works a 9-to-5? So generally we have opposite schedules because my afternoons will typically be busier than my mornings. But I think, you know, for me, I've always been a planner. So it comes down to that. And I've always been able to balance, you know, Sports 360 AZ interviews and teaching and time with my husband, time with my dog. You know, working from home is nice because she's usually right next to me, so I don't have to carve out too much time for that. But starting with a plan is definitely my number one thing.
Yeah, what's your career goal?
I honestly think it changes all the time. But I think it's a tough thing to answer. But I think that I haven't been as happy as I have been the last year and a half. And so I don't feel, and I'm not just saying this to make you happy or to, you know, sound like a Sports 360 AZ cheerleader, but I'm very content. And I think for a long time, I was like, striving for the next thing is always great. But I think I was thinking so far ahead so much that I wasn't enjoying what I was actually doing at the time. And I think, you know, having just gotten married, I'm finally settling into Arizona, which that's a whole other topic. Meeting friends and meeting girls in your upper 20s is so hard. And I finally have a group of girlfriends, and I have a dog and a cat that I love. I've got a husband that I love. My family's doing well. I'm just happy right now, and I'm trying to enjoy this. And maybe one day I'm going to really want something else. Mm-hmm. But I'm also teaching, which is something that I've wanted to do. So I feel like I'm getting to do the two things that I've always said I wanted to do at the same time. So why would I really want anything else at the moment? Yeah, so it might sound like I'm not striving for much, but it's happiness is what I'm looking for right now.
No, contentment is a good thing. And I think in our industry, we struggle with contentment. I think contentment is something that there's always that person's over there and that person's over there and they're doing this and they're doing that. And it may look great on the outside. And then you talk to them like, I hate what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm on this national stage, but the demands are just different and it's cracked up to be. So, you know, I get it. I think contentment is a very positive thing. Good stuff. I appreciate you coming on board, just chopping it up.
I'm always happy to be here. Like I said, I'm happy here.
There's Claudia Collins. You can find her on many platforms. You will see her hosting in a couple of weeks on Bally Sports Arizona on the Football AZ Show, of course, on The Rocks, of course, Bleacher Talk, and Recruiting Roundup. And we're back with more after this timeout.